Our gracious Lord and Savior, we thank you. Father, I'm thankful for the time that we have here together. There's nowhere else that I would want to be than to be with my brothers and sisters, my family, Lord. So I'm so thankful for Friday nights. Thankful that you've given me another Friday night, even though I'm not feeling well. There's still, you know, in a place that I would want to be than to be here with these people. So thank you, God. I pray that all of us would feel the same, that not just Friday nights, but Sundays and Wednesdays, that there's no other place that we would rather be than with each other, with the family of God, other than to be present with you, of course. And for that we pray, Lord, quickly come. For I know that I'm ready to go home. I long to be at home, Father. But while we are here, we pray that we would love each other as we ought to. Despite of our differences, our upbringings, that we are your children, so help us to love each other like we should. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me, Lord. I pray for Mariah's friend that you would heal her body, Lord, whatever's going on, that you would give the doctors guidance and wisdom to help her. Father, we pray for Amanda, Lord, that if she will have a bunch of tests done, again, that you would guide the doctors. And we can always take comfort in knowing that you are designer. You know our bodies. You know what's going on, Lord. We pray that there will be some conclusions, Lord, that whatever's going on in Amanda's body, that you would help her bring some healing. And for Sarah and the babies, Lord, continue to help everything go along smoothly, that the babies will be growing and maturing as they are supposed to be. Lord, help them to be gaining weight, everything that they need to be doing, Father, help them. And we pray for Sarah that you continue to give her strength, Lord, and encouragement. Let her health be as it ought to be, Lord. We just pray that everything would go smoothly, Father. Keep your hands of protection upon her and upon the babies, we pray. We pray tonight as we look to your word that it would do its work in our lives, that it would convict us, Lord. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins, Lord, this week and this day. Help us to be more like your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, Jude. As always, I think I can cover a few verses and then I end up can't because there's so much there. So I have on my notes that we're going to cover 10 through 13. Obviously, that's not going to happen. We're only going to make it through 11a. So who wants to volunteer to read for me? Harrison. Read all the way 1 through 11, please.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord, God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the arrow of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah.
Okay, so last week I remember talking about Michael, who is a protector over God's people, and he has the task of doing different assignments. One of them, we remember that we talked about last week, was he disputing with the devil over the body of Moses. And though he very easily could have told the devil, Satan, that, you know, he's a liar and evil and wicked, he did not do that, did he? He simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." So we learn from that. He did not bring an accusation against the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." So Junior is continuing to talk about these apostates that have crept in and are causing a bunch of problems at the church. Very serious problem. In fact, the last, pretty much, since the beginning, he's been covering about these apostates, and he will for the next few verses. That's the majority of Jude. So, verse 10, "But these apostates, speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves." So, in continuing to describe the nature of these apostates, Jude describes the nature of these sinful men. These pretenders claim to be spiritually discerned. They say that they're well-reasoned, that they're intellectual. But despite any claims that they make of themselves, they do not perceive, nor can they perceive, the things of God. They say that they're spiritual men, that they're very smart, intellectual, they can reason stuff. But they cannot really even understand the things of God. They're not able to. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And that's exactly what these apostates are. They are spiritually discerned. They do not understand, perceive, or know the things of God. They claim to, but they do not. They are blinded to the truths of God, therefore they speak evil of it. Literally, they blaspheme the things of God. And that is to hurt the reputation or smite with words. They slander or they rail the things of God, especially to revile God and divine things. Remember, they are sexual immoral, they do lewd things, they're wanting to fulfill their own evil desires, they're wanting to cause harm to the children of God, and even their thinking is wicked. They have evil intentions. And so the things of God then they want to smite or rail or go against. And even though they claim to be godly men and spiritually discerned, they're not. They're the direct opposite. They cannot understand, for they are enslaved in their natural state of sin. We praise God and we're thankful to God, at least we should be, that we too once were lost. We were enslaved to our sins. Can we free ourselves? Absolutely not. Salvation is of the Lord. He has freed us from our sins. But these apostates, these wicked men, these false teachers, they are still enslaved in their sins, and they do not know the things of God. Michael Green, a commentator, says, If a man persistently blind to spiritual values, deaf to the call of God, and rates self-determination as the highest good, then a time will come when he cannot hear the call that he has spurned, but is left to the mercy of the turbulent instincts to which he once turned in search of freedom. And those instincts, given free rein, are merciless. Lust, when indulged, becomes a killer. These are the things that he's seeking after. He has spurned God. He has turned against God. And the very thing that he now seeks, lust and sexual immorality, these are the very things that will be his undoing, that will cause him to come to an end. But what they know naturally, it says. But he speaks evil of whatever he does not know. So that's saying the things of God, though he claims to know them, he claims to be a spiritual man, he does not know the things of God. And so he speaks evil of them. But whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. What in the world does this mean? The things that they know naturally, like brute beasts. The adverb naturally is set in opposition to reason and judgment. Okay, I'll say that again. The adverb naturally is set in opposition to reason and judgment. So it's the opposite. You have reason and sound judgment, so it's the opposite of that. For the instinct of nature alone rules in brute beasts. Therefore, their fleshly appetites are not bridled. They're not stopped. They can't be tamed. The brute beast, okay, comes from the word alagos. Alagos, okay. Now, the word logos means word or reason. Like you have a sound word, or you're able to reason, okay. But the alpha, you know, what's the first letter of the Greek alphabet? Alpha, right? Okay, so the alpha prefix a logos negates logos. Okay? So it means without reason or without a word. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay, good. So this person, a brute beast, is one without reason, without word. Okay? MacArthur writes that these apostates were like dumb animals who cannot speak reasonably because they cannot reason. Okay? No matter how highly educated apostate teachers are, and some of them are, how profoundly philosophical. Oh man. Let me just start that over. MacArthur writes, these apostates were like dumb animals who cannot speak reasonably because they cannot reason. No matter how highly educated apostate teachers are, how profoundly philosophical they think their teaching is, or how many mystical visions and insights they claim to have had, they are still like brute animals without reason. Remember, these apostates claim to have had special enlightenment, right? That the Lord spoke to them, and so now they have a special revelation. And then they try to tell the people to do the same. God told me that we must be doing this, so you must do this, right? That's what special revelation is, right? Okay, so they are like dumb animals, and they cannot reason. Anyone in here try to have a conversation with someone who's dreaming? You ever talk to someone who's dreaming? Right?
I mean, like sleepwalking or like actually...
They're actually asleep. And yeah, whether they're sleepwalking or whatever. You try to talk with them and they might even answer you. But it might be just some dumb answer like, you know, like Sam's dreaming, right? And I'm like, hey, Sam, what are you doing, man? Yeah, it's 2 o'clock. What are you talking about, Sam? Go back to bed. Oh, we had carrots for dinner. Right? He's without reason. He does not understand what I'm asking him. He's sleeping. He cannot reason in his mind what is really going on. Okay? That's like these apostates. They are without reason. they cannot understand the things of God. Does that all help us to understand this? They claim to be spiritually discerned, to know the things of God, and to even teach the things of God. They may be very smart, well-educated, but they do not truly understand the things of God. So what they claim to be teaching, we need to not listen to, right? They need to be tamed, they need to be girded and put out. Okay, like many today who are thought to be wise, they become fools. That's exactly what they are. They are thought to be wise, they become fools, Romans 1:22. And in these things they corrupt themselves. These brute beasts, these unreasoned animals, in these things they corrupt themselves. Literally, they are destroyed in these things. They are destroyed in these things. The end of verse 7, they are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These things are their undoing. They are destroyed. So Jude says in verse 11 then, woe to them. Woe to them. The word translated woe is an interjection or emotional cry that is essentially like exclaiming, alas, how horrible it will be. So Jude is saying that woe to these apostates. Their end is going to be horrible. Their judgment, their wrath is going to be awful, unbearable. And what is their end? Hell. Right? Remember the examples that we have, the three examples that he listed for us. These, and anyone who turns from God, who apostatizes, goes in the opposite direction, wanting to do their own thing, they will suffer the wrath of God in hell for all eternity. And so Jude is saying, woe to them. Woe to them. How horrible it will be for these apostates, for the people who turn from God. Woe to them. Jude again uses three examples to further his point regarding these apostates. We learned about the other ones. Remember in the wilderness, the people who turned from God and died, right? Sodom and Gomorrah and the angels. So again, Jude uses three examples. The first one then is from Cain, verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Okay? Their conduct. He's saying, when he says that they've gone in the way of Cain, that means their conduct is similar to what Cain had done. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. Need another volunteer or two. Anna and Ben. Anna, do you read 1 through 8? Ben 9 through 16, please. Genesis chapter 4, everyone else follow along.
Now the man had revelations with his wife Eve. Wrote Galatians. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to him. She said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to a son Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel for his offering. But Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. You must be its master, but you must master it. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him.
And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to you from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from the ground. And if you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the road. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden. And I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him suddenly. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain's death. No one finding him would slay him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so here we have Cain and Abel, brothers, right? And they need to bring something to God. Abel does, and God is pleased with what he brought to him. But with Cain, the Lord is not pleased with what Cain has brought him. That might sound confusing, but yeah, what's the deal? They brought him something, but why was the Lord not pleased with him? Why did he say that sin is at the door and it desires you, and you must conquer it, but you have not? Strictly speaking, there are only two religions in the world. True religion, that of God's appointing, which he declares in the Bible, and false religion, which is the product of man's own mind. Let me read that again. Strictly speaking, there are only two religions in the world. True religion, that of God's appointing, which is revealed to us in his holy word, and false religion, which is the product of man's own mind. The first religion of faith. The second, that of credulity or superstition, in whatever form it may appear. I'm going to read to you a little section here of this book on Jude from a guy named H.I. Ironside, who lived in the late 1800s and died like in 1945. In the beginning, God made known to guilty man the truth that the death and judgment were his rightful portion, only to be averted by the sacrifice of the seed of the woman. In the fullness of time, he would appear as the sinner's savior, bruising the serpent's head, though himself wounded in the heel. This was the revelation in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15. In accordance with this revelation, faith taught those who were saved by grace the proprietary of approaching God, the Holy One, on the ground of sacrifice. Each bleeding sacrifice pointed to Jesus, who was to be made sin so that the guilty men might be delivered from their sins and stand before the throne of the Most High uncondemned. Therefore we read, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh, Hebrews 11:4. Abel did not offer his sacrifice by intuition, but by faith, through a revelation of apprehending the mind of God. He brought a sacrifice which told of a life forfeited, a sinless substitute, whose vicarious death could take the place of the guilty one. This Lamb of Abel speaks loudly. Even though he offered it, even though he who offered it has long been numbered with the dead in Christ. This is the heart of the gospel. Christ died for the ungodly, Romans 5:6. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, Leviticus 17:11. Everywhere in Scripture the same testimony is given. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission for sins, Hebrews 9:22. Now this is exactly what, in principle, Cain denied. His offering was no blood, right? He brought an offering to God according to the promptings of his own heart, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9, as is the heart of every natural man. Without the remission of sins, without the spilling of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Right? Abel knew this. Abel understood this. Cain did not. Cain conjured up something in his own heart, in his own mind. We cannot please God. We cannot come up with our own religion to please God. Only that what he requires. Apostates today resemble Cain in his rejection of the required blood sacrifice. One of the main tenets of liberalism is rejection of the death of Christ as an atonement for sin. Liberals refuse to view his death as substitutionary. They say Christ's death is an example of a martyr dying for a cause. Christ was not dying for a cause. He was dying for sinners. He was the perfect lamb. His was a substitutionary death. All sacrifices before that time pointed to Christ. They pointed to him. The lambs that were slaughtered, blood had to be shed for the forgiveness of sin. Then Christ came and sheds his blood for us sinners. It was substitutionary, despite what these liberals or anyone says. It was not just some cause he was dying for, but for you and I. His blood was shed so that you and I can have forgiveness. And by faith, we believe this and receive this as Abel did. By faith, he had a sacrifice, right? Cain became an apostate and went his own way. This is the comparison also to apostates. They desire to go in their own way and stay in their sin as the swine do. The swine want to quickly run back to the mud, trying to fulfill their evil desires and their evil intentions. Cain, the murderer, as we know, this is what he did to his brother. He's upset. His countenance fell. He turns from God. And what happens? You're left in your sinful state and you do evil things. He kills his brother. So Cain, the murderer, the root of whose sin was hatred and envy of the godly, as it is the sin of these seducers, these apostates, they are hateful, they are jealous, and they hate those who truly love God. These apostates want to do their own thing. They have a false religion. They have turned from God, and they want to seduce us. Right? But they are jealous, and they hate us. And like Cain, they probably want to kill us. Because we follow Christ. Christ died for us. He sacrificed for us. And by faith, we cling to this. We must never rely on our own wisdom to please God, but only what he reveals to us in his word, lest we become like these pretenders. these apostates. We can't conjure up things in our own mind. That's why we read that there are only two religions, God and what He reveals to us in His Word, and false religions, what man conjures up. These are apostates. They have evil intentions, and they conjure up whatever they think is right. But remember, man is sinful. We are wicked. How then can we come up with anything that pleases God? This is what Cain was trying to do. And that's Jude's point here. That sinful men cannot please God. You cannot. But through Christ's work and by faith, this is how we reach God, and no way else. So let us cling to His Scriptures. Let us study them and read them and know Him, and through them reach God. Through Christ's work, we have forgiveness. We have salvation. So again, we must never rely on our own wisdom to please God or to reach God, but only what He reveals to us in His Word. Amen? Let us not be like these brute beasts, these unreasoned animals. But as children of God, let us have reasoning through His Scriptures. And God will let us understand. He will turn the light for us. It has. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You. Again, we have lessons learned here. Jude uses examples from history for us. In the Bible, he has quoted things to give us as a lesson. Here, Cain. Or brute beasts. These apostates are exactly like Cain. Unreasoned animals. Trying to please God in their own minds. To come up with things in their own minds and in their own hearts. These are false religions. These are pretenders. But in reality, they have turned from God. And they are wicked, sinful men. They are lessons for us. Lord, let us learn from them. Help us to understand that these men are wicked and they have turned from God. And they have their own false religion, opposite of what we know to be truth found in Your Word. Lord, let us not be like these unreasoned animals, these swine. But through Your Scriptures, through faith, we believe and understand and know the things of God. So let us walk in them. Let Your Spirit guide us. Forgive us, O God, when we do sin and fall short. But lift us up, O God, and carry us along. Let us be led by Your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.